Nurture and support. Nurture and support. This is a podcast theme song. And it's really short.
Nurture and support begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome back to Nurture and Support, a recommendation podcast. I'm Kelly Toole at K-E-L-L-Y-T-H-U-L on Twitter. And with me, as always, advancing the Amazon Prime Directive, got it right that time, is Mel.
Hi, everybody. I'm Mel at Karmic9 on Twitter. And I wish the Prime Directive, they should show up at my door and give me a job.
I think you have put in the time. I had a opportunity to visit. There's a pitched battle going on. Our good friend Mike Walensky, who has been on a couple times, and we, of course, worked with him in some Narc Alec Radio. Mike's been doing a podcast called Fireside Chats, and a pitched battle has been developed between Vex Starscream and I on who's going to have been the most frequent guest. Mm-hmm. And Vex recently surpassed me because he did a 4-show residency with Mike and kind of launched ahead, so... I returned fire here recently, and Mike was, I think it's a close run. I still think you have the larger track record and consistency, but Mike advances the Amazon Prime Directive pretty aggressively as well.
We should get together and take over Amazon.
There you go. You'd be two fine additions, but we'll throw Mike under the bus and make sure you get in first. So yes. Absolutely cool with that. All righty. Well, why don't we go ahead and get started? I'll kick it off this week. Mine's not super long, but it's going to be highly, highly useful. The recommendation I'm going to make today is an app. It is an app that is available on both iOS and Android. And if you ever, basically, there's probably a short list of apps you absolutely need to have on your phone. You know, you need to have Google and you need to have Candy Crush, kidding. You know, there's Twitter. You know, there's a couple, there's a real small core group of apps you need to have. I would argue that this app should be in that group, that any phone you get at any time, this app should be there, so long as you at least one time a year need to reserve a table at a restaurant.
Okay.
So if there is never a need ever for you to reserve a table, then it's probably not an essential app. However, even once, I don't know why you wouldn't want to use this. And the app I'm recommending is a wonderful little app called Open Table. And it's OpenTable, Open Table. And it's a reservation tool for you. And so what will happen is it doesn't cover every single restaurant in your area. It only covers the restaurants that are participating. But my experience so far has been these aren't just the niche restaurants. These are a bunch of a lot of the better ones, for at least in my location, mm-hmm. some of the better restaurants in the area, which is not a particularly high bar because we're not Chicago, we're not New York, but good restaurants from my area, and I've used it in other cities as well, and it works really well. And it's, you know, it's about as simple can be. You go ahead and register, sign up, connect it to an email account, and log in. I believe it's been a while since I actually connected because I've been using it so long, but I believe you might be able to use social media credentials like Twitter or Facebook if you wanted to. And it comes in, it uses your geolocation to determine where you're at, and then fires up the list of restaurants in that area that are available and lists 3 reservation times for that day. Hmm. And you can just go in, you pick it. So, and it's based on availability. So it's not like, it's only going to show you what's available as it suggested ones. So you can get a pretty good idea, and it's, you know, 15-minute increments. It'll be like 5:45, 6:00, and 6:15, but then you can open up the and swing it earlier or later if you want to from there. You go in, you pick the date, you pick the time, the number of people, you hit go, and you got a reservation. Cool. And you're done. It does incorporate, there's a review platform and a rating platform tied to it. So that you can, and they kind of encourage you as you come back out to do that. So I think part of the idea is for the Open Table community to be sharing with each other good and bad experiences. And they follow up basically the day after you're there, you'll get an email saying, hey, how was your experience at Biagi's? We'd love to hear a little more about it. And you can go ahead and write something up. So you get a list of local restaurants. So, you know, at home base, it's been really awesome for me because if there's, a need to get a reservation, it's a very quick and easy way to knock it off in just a couple seconds and you get it done. But then you kind of play it out to, if you're traveling at all, you're in Chicago, you're in Las Vegas, you're in New York, you're in Dallas, wherever, it'll come up. You'll get kind of a list of restaurants. They're going to have a star rating. They're going to have reviews you can kind of look at a little bit. Yelp is definitely still deeper in terms of that, but you can get kind of a sense of it. And you can do it, you know, based kind of what's closest to me as well. Mm-hmm. So it's super easy. You do not have to interact with human beings. You get it done. Yeah, I figured this would be a big sell for you, Mel. It's like you totally take humans out of the equation until you have to come up and talk to the person at the restaurant to give them your name to get your table. But that's the first time you have to talk to a human.
So the app, that should be in the next update, that they just automatically, you know, check me in when I walk in.
Just wave your phone.
That's right.
And it's like, me. Oh, it's me.
Point at my table.
Yeah. Don't say a word. Point to my table. Well, we can submit that as an enhancement request too.
Absolutely.
But I have had zero issues with it ever in terms of every single reservation that I've made. Never a question at all. And then even on what could be kind of busy nights to get a reservation, it's pretty accurate in terms of, so like, if there's like a college graduation going on or high school college graduation going on in the town, and you know a lot of the local restaurants will be full, you get a pretty good gauge on when they got some availability. And about the only limitation I'd say is that if you have a particularly large group, you got 10, 12, 14 people, I believe it only goes up to 8. So reservations from 1 to 8, you can do in it. If you got a bigger party than that, I think you're probably stuck talking to a human being. But
I would book it for the 8 and then maybe call and tell a human being, oh, oops, I got 14.
I got a couple more.
Yeah.
Or have somebody else in your party of 8 call.
Yes.
Do that. There you go.
So, send them an email.
Yeah. I just found it such a clean, easy, simple way to do it. It had a lot of good restaurants in it. Particularly if you're in a place you're not as familiar, it might be a nice quick way to do it. No hassle, fast, easy, accurate, does the job. So my recommendation this week is you should add OpenTable to your list of apps if you don't have it already.
Cool. It sounds like that might also be a good way for people to check out restaurants that are in their area they may not be familiar with. Because I know we get new ones. I live by a small town that's getting very known for all of its restaurants that they're putting in. And that's basically our claim to fame out there now. People drive forever to come out here and eat. And there are so many new ones going in. I don't even know what they are. And the area is so crowded, you almost can't pay me to drive down the street where all the restaurants are, because they put in a roundabout. And I don't like roundabouts. I mean, come on, they're pointless.
I was on a roundabout yesterday, and I did not enjoy it at all.
No one enjoys a roundabout. They're not cute. They're not pretty. They're not useful. Don't do it, people. But my town has put in a roundabout to surround it with restaurants. So people talk about something that they've been to over there, and I'm like, I don't even know, because if I'm driving, forget it. We're not going over there. But this sounds like a good way to find out for people like me who are oblivious to what's actually in their own area, to find out maybe about some restaurants they weren't familiar with.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I think, and you know, once you download it and fire it up, you're going to get that list right away. Yeah. Now, it's going to be only the people who have chosen to participate. But like I said, it seems to be, and I guess if you're a restaurant, it's like, hey, this is a pretty clean and easy way. I don't have to, I'm saving staffing time because it's being handled.
Right.
For me, so.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I'm going to have to download that, because no, it isn't on my phone. So I'm going to have to download that and see what it says about all of these local new restaurants I have around here.
Cool.
So reservations are good. I hate going in and waiting and waiting, waiting.
Because there are people waiting beside
That's right.
you.
That's right. And they're loud and they're touching you, because there's never enough room for everybody to wait. And it's like, I want to go outside, but I might miss my name. And yeah. So yep. Anyway, this sounds good. This sounds doable for me. I'd rather talk to a robot.
That's right. It's all the good things. It's convenience and further distance from humanity, which to me is like a win-win. So
absolutely.
I'm all for it.
Absolutely. Speaking of further distance from humanity, that goes right into my recommendation this week.
Folks, if you're listening at home, we don't plan it. It just, the magic just happens.
I have a game recommendation that this is not particularly a new game, but it's always changing. It's actually still in alpha testing, which means that they don't have the final game ready yet. They're still adding features and testing things out. But what they do have up is a sandbox mode, which is pretty cool. So this game is called The Long Dark, and it's by Hinterland Games. And it's a survival game after it's a post-disaster survival game. So in the sandbox mode, the only people that you come across are dead. They're frozen corpses. Best people.
Can you shoot them?
You know, if you ever manage to find a rifle, you could waste your very valuable ammunition probably shooting the dead bodies. But this is a game that does its very best to try and make survival in the frozen wasteland of Canada to be as realistic as possible. So the general story here, when the story mode comes out, like I said, this game is just in sandbox mode right now, which is basically just a big open world that when you start a game, you get dumped into. So the story is that you're a crashed pilot. Basically, some geomagnetic disaster has happened. I don't know if we're talking about the poles flipping, but whatever. Technology has stopped working. And you crash your plane into the Canadian wilderness, and it is freezing cold. You have very minimal supplies. You are not really appropriately dressed for this environment, and you have to learn to stay alive. Apparently, the people that are behind this game don't really believe in giving you a lot of help, because the point of it is that it's a survival game. You need to think, you need to look at the environment, and you need to figure it out. So they don't really start the game off with any really sort of help. You're dumped in a wasteland, you're freezing. What do you do? What's the first thing that you think that you need? It's like
a gun. You need a gun.
I would want a gun.
The way I play, but so I would probably go for wood.
Yes. So you can open up, you hit the tab key. This is a PC game. I think it would probably port very well over to tablet gaming, but I don't know if they have any plans to do that right now. Right now, this is a PC only game. And you hit the tab key, it pops up a menu where forge wood is one of your options. You also have a bedroll, which also helps you stay warm. But you have access to an inventory, but one of the important things that the tab screen will give you is the current temperature, the wind chill, what it feels like to you, and your current calories, and how hungry and how thirsty, and your body condition, all of that sort of things. This ends up being very much a game of calorie management. So all of us Western civilized people are running around trying to cut our calories. And in this game, you're desperate to get calories because you're freezing and you're going to be working your butt off trying to find supplies. And there's the added factor of wolves. There are wolves in the Canadian wilderness, and they think you're pretty tasty. So when you start the game, you have no weapons on you. These are things that you're going to have to find. So the main weapons that you find in the game are a knife, a hunting knife, a hatchet, and eventually, if you're very good and you're very lucky, you'll find a rifle. And if you find a rifle, hopefully you'll find a few bullets to go along with it, because they're pretty scarce. But the rifle itself, in my experience so far, has been pretty difficult for me to find a rifle of the games that I have played. So you've got to stay warm. Essentially, you need to find some shelter. Then you have to start worrying about what you're going to eat. So you basically turn into a scavenger that is having to roam this wilderness. It turns out in the first map that you're going to be playing is called Mystery Lake. You can find some lake cabins around the lake, a camp office. There's a trapper's cabin that you can find. There's different things scattered around the map that if you live long enough, you can find and will help you stay alive. But it's definitely a game where you have to think about things and manage your time. This game is also, even though it's an alpha, it is beautiful. They have done so much work on the artwork in the game. It's just really, really well done. You've got sunsets. One thing you really need to be terrified of is being outside a shelter when a blizzard hits, because you will freeze very quickly. So it's everything that you think about a scavenging type game is you've got to find clothing. There are different kinds of clothing that you will stumble across that will give you different factors of warmth and wind chill resistance. And one of the big things that a lot of games leave out, you've got to repair your clothing. You've got to repair your tools. They degrade as you use them. And depending on the conditions that you come across and the conditions that you're using your tools in, you will degrade them even faster. So you have to find the equipment to be able to repair your clothes. You've got to find a sewing kit so that you can sew up the holes in your clothes so you don't freeze to death. So when was the last time you had to sew in a game?
Never. Never that. Of course, again, my technique doesn't lend itself to the need for sewing. And I'm so glad when you started to say, and it had something no other game has had, that you have to, and then you started with an R word, and I was like, you're not going to say relieve yourself, are you? I was like, oh, I don't have to plan that, do I?
though, you know, I have thought sometimes when I'm playing this game that a bath would probably be really beneficial at this point. When you do inevitably get hurt, infection is a big risk. So there are first aid kits that you'll find in a lot of buildings. You'll find painkillers around, antibiotics, bottles of hydrogen peroxide, which are really heavy, and you can only carry so much. So basically, a lot of the things that are very important to your survival actually weigh quite a bit. Now, I will tell you something really stupid that I did in one of my very early games, and I ended up having to look up what the problem was, but I died of thirst. I couldn't figure out how I was supposed to get water. And you will find all sorts of orange soda and grape soda and things like that. But I hadn't found any of that yet. And I died of thirst wandering around lost in the wilderness. You're surrounded by snow. You would think, how could you possibly die of thirst when you're surrounded by snow? Well, you actually have to melt the water over a campfire. It's in one of the menus that when you click on fire, like I said, they don't give you really any help. They don't baby you. They don't tell you all of this different stuff that you have to do. So once you successfully make a fire, if you click on the fire, you get this menu that pops up that lets you add fuel to the fire if you have enough wood or books to burn or newsprint or something to burn. And you can cook your food over the fire if you happen to find a can of pork and beans, which are very prevalent. And then the last tab is you can melt water. Now, if you melt water and you don't boil it first, though, you run the risk of making yourself ill. So you've got to boil the water too. So there's a lot of cool stuff to find in this game. It's very sort of micromanaging while in a exploration type wasteland. And it's very easy to get lost in this world. It all looks the same. You're in a snow-covered forest for the most part until you stumble across a lake or a creek or something like that. So it's very, very easy to get lost. And one of the things that I understand why they don't have it, I am hoping at some point they do add some sort of in-game map that will give you some idea of where you've been, but I don't know that they will. I kind of suspect that they don't want to do that because they want people to be confused. So this is the type of game you might need to keep a piece of paper handy and draw yourself a little notebook paper map as you go along so that you don't get completely and absolutely lost. But there are a lot of a lot of helpful guides that people have put up online, but I really suggest that you jump into this game as it was intended without having a clue really of what to do. I've given you a few tips that would help you not die maybe on the first night. I will admit that I died 3 times in a row. And one other interesting thing, the dreaded word, permadeath. When you die in this game, there is no going back and loading a save game. You only get one game at a time. And when you sleep or you enter a building, it will automatically save your game. And then if you leave the game and you come back and in the game menu you load your previous game, it will start up from the very last save. But it only saves, and it saves automatically when you sleep and when you enter a building. And that's all you have. If you die, that save game gets deleted. So there's always these ways to game those types of games that do that sort of thing. But
So I expect I'd be dying quickly, fairly often. So early on, let's say I'm doing it, I managed to get through the first night, and I realize, oh crap, I'm looking at all my figures in here, and I go, it's not long for me.
Yeah.
Could I basically, if I knew if I was getting like really close, could I just bail out of the game then and go back to my last, as long as I'd made it through to...
As long as you haven't died, yes. And that is something that I have done sometimes. And within the game, you can load your last save from within the game. You hit the escape key, it pops up the game menu. You can load without having to actually quit the game.
Oh, there
you
go.
You can just reload. Now, I have done that because basically I got bored. I got stuck in an ice fishing hut. You can ice fish in this game, y'all.
Oh, there you go.
Woo-hoo. As long as you craft the supplies necessary to do so. But the fish are very filling. Anyway, I got stuck in an ice fishing hut. I wasn't really in any risk of dying. I had wood. I was just bored. And there was a blizzard. And I'd gotten lost before when I had left and ended up getting turned around and going the wrong direction away from my base camp. And so I didn't want to mess with that. So I reloaded. And sometimes when you load, you will get a different weather scenario.
Oh.
So when I loaded again, there wasn't a blizzard. And I was like, cool, I'm tired of blizzards. So then I got to leave and go cook my fish at my little camp and eat and be happy. So, you also, like I said, you can find a rifle so you can shoot deer, but, you will, it's not as easy. I finally found a rifle and shooting was not as easy as I thought it would be, but I'm not coordinated. It's a complicated thing of left and right mouse buttons, and controlling both of those at the same time apparently was a problem for me, and I didn't want to waste bullets, so I stopped playing around with it. But, you can shoot deer to hunt. You obviously could use it to shoot wolves, though when a wolf is attacking you, you will auto-equip your best hand-to-hand weapon, which should be the hunting knife if you have one, a hatchet if you don't, and you happen to have a hatchet. If you've been attacked by a wolf and you don't have any of those, like I have, you're dead. So, there are also bears, though I have not been attacked by a bear yet. The bears are not nearly as aggressive as the wolves, so... There are also little rabbits. If you have the equipment to make a snare, you can snare rabbits and then use the little rabbit pelts to make some gloves, which will keep you warm. So there's a lot of crafting going on. It's a lot of wandering around a map, exploring things. And scattered around, I haven't quite figured out the spawn rate on them if you only get one per map, but there are several prepper bunkers to be found, some of them with very special goodies in them. So it's very much a case of encouraging exploring all over the place, but be careful because you can fall down a cliff and die from blood loss, or you can sprain an ankle, or you can break a leg. You can definitely hurt yourself in this game and then have to try and live with the consequences, which are not as fun as you would think. There's also a little bit of herbology thrown in. There are some plants that you can harvest to help you heal and get better. But
any plants that just kind of mellow you out?
No, but I did find a box of herbal tea and I tried it and I really, you know, didn't feel that my character felt any better. So anyway, but it was a nice warm drink. So anyway.
Yeah. So you reminded me, So what my first computer gaming system, I guess, I don't know what you really want to call it, but I had a Commodore Amiga, and there were some amazingly fun games to play on the Amiga. There was one company called CinemaWare that put out a lot of types of things. So they did a Plan 9 from outer space that I could never get to load and work, but they had like a Rocketeer one, and they also did some TV sports, baseball, and basketball. It was just all really good stuff. But there was a World War II pilot game called Wings that I just played the crap out of. And the reason I was reminded of it as you talked about it, they didn't have the nice menu option for me to come up if things weren't going well to reload from last save. Mm-hmm. But as you're playing this game, you're an ace, you're a pilot, and you're, depending on how you're doing, you know, you're getting certain wards and all that. And as the game progresses, it's showing how you're doing versus actual aces. So you're on a timeline. So you say, hey, I've got more kills than the Red Baron, so you kind of see where you're at and all this type of thing. And I really wanted to do well, and I was typically doing pretty well, but every once in a while, dogfight doesn't turn out the way you'd like. You kind of make some wrong choices. What I did find out, though, is if I simply powered down the computer at that point in time, you didn't have a shutdown process for the Amiga. The shutdown process for Amiga was, it's off, and you were good. And so I did find out that if things had turned out badly, then I was in trouble. As long as I hadn't crashed and died yet, I could just shut it off, and then when it would come back, it would have forgotten my last adventure.
Your horrible failure.
Horrible failure. So I ended up being this remarkable with, you know, hundreds of kills because I had found the invincibility mode.
Right. And there are ways to get around all of those things in games. This one is the same. If you want to go in and save all of the files to get your save game and then have to reload them after you die, you can go to that much trouble. Now, you only get to run one game at a time, which I'm a chronic. I'll have several different versions of a game running that I switch back and forth between. So that's one of the things that I was like, wow, just one game at a time. But it's a very immersive game. It's a really big world. You do get, I didn't mention where you get this game. I did mention Steam. Let me just say real quick where I came across this game. Now, I had known about the Kickstarter campaign that they did a long time ago. One of the voice actors in the game is Jennifer Hale, who, if you don't know who she is, Google her. She's like won the Guinness Award for voicing the most female characters in video games. She's in all of my favorite games. I love her. She is a voice of the female character in this game as well. So anyway, I've followed her talking about this game and whatnot over the course of this time. And I had sort of forgotten about it until it came up on a Humble Bundle sale. There or actually go. Wasn't a Humble Bundle. But if you go to humblebundle.com, they have a tab that is their PC game store. And all of the games that you buy go to help fund some of the charities that they give money to. So they had a big sale. And they had The Long Dark for $9.99. Now, on Steam, this game is listed right now at $19.99. Now, what I mentioned, this was an alpha phase. If you buy the game now, when it finally finishes and comes out with the final story mode of the game, you get the whole game for the price that you pay right now. I checked Humble Bundle before we recorded this, and right now that sale is over, but the game is still listed at $13.99. So it's a great deal. You're still downloading it through Steam. They give you a code for you to redeem on Steam. So it's an early access game. You buy it now. You get every version, every update they put out until the final version. So it's really a pretty good deal. And I've gotten way more than my $9.99 of enjoyment out of it. So I think that $13.99 on Humble Bundle is a really good deal. But it's not bad at the $20 price point either. It's a little much for a not finished game, I suppose, but $13.99 I think is perfectly doable, and you're giving money to some charity through Humble Bundle, so I think that's a great deal, and you should check it out. But The Long Dark is a great survival game. I'm always taking screenshots in there because, like I mentioned, the artwork is really pretty, especially with all the weather effects that go on and the sunsets and all of the cool things that go on, and it's really got a pretty good AI that they're always tweaking for the wolf behavior and the deer behavior and things like that. So they are actively working really hard on this game, and the sandbox mode is pretty enjoyable at this point. So I really am looking very much forward to the final version of the game coming out, which I hope it comes out this year, but I haven't seen anything concrete about when the plans are. So The Long Dark by Hinterland Games. You can find out more on their website, intothelongdark.com. There's a pre-order button there, but like I said, right now, as of the time we're recording this, it's $13.99 on Humble Bundle, and that's a great deal. I think you should check it out.
Absolutely. I have spent a lot more for games I would enjoy a lot less than this. So
I have as well. I've spent $70 on a game I didn't get play as much as I have played this one. And because this one's also on Steam, if you're a Steam game player, there's always most of the games up there put achievements up there, and they start small. You get an achievement for surviving one day, and you get one for surviving 3 days and for 5 days. I made it up to 30 days. Actually, I think I made it to 32, but there wasn't an achievement for that. And then I fell down a ravine and died.
Ooh.
Yeah, that hurt. That hurt bad. It was my own stupidity, though. I was like, there has to be a way down here. Oops.
Look, whoops, down you go. Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, but
very cool.
It's a cool game. I like it. I've really enjoyed playing it. You can lose hours wandering around lost in the wilderness, but it just tickles me. The granola bars and the energy bars and everything that you find, and then the fishing and the rabbit catching and scavenging carcasses from wolves. It's fun.
Any Funyuns?
Not yet. You know, they're really, I don't know if Funyuns are prevalent in Canada. They're really trying to make this game very Canada-centric is what I've read. But I don't know, not being familiar with the brands of soda that they have up there, but there's always the same brands of soda. I'm really hoping that they branch out on some of the different consumables that you can find. There's beef jerky, some generic candy bars and things like that. But I keep coming up with all sorts of things of, you know, they need protein powder. That would be a great thing for somebody to find, and it takes up way too much space in your backpack. So you would really have to think about it really hard. Do I really want this protein powder? Do I need it? That would be one of those things I agonized over, because I agonize over all the little decisions, people.
Well, I'm fairly certain Funyuns is an international craze, and so I'm sure there's could be Canadian. Maybe it's maple-flavored Funyuns. Yeah. I don't know, but...
Yeah, so it's a fun game. Lots of cool things to find. I keep coming up with other things that I wish they had in there, but I'm sure they'll probably add a few more of those consumable type things before the game is finalized. But
is there a feedback mechanism for you to as a
I'm sure that there is. I've had this game for not even quite 2 weeks, and I've pretty much maxed out my elite status on Raptor. So anyway, it's fun. I really like it. So I'll have to look into some of that. But the game's been playable since September, so there's a lot of people that have beat me to all of those things.
Yeah. Funyuns. I bet you nobody's pitched Funyuns yet.
I'll have to throw it in there, a recommendation from Kelly Toole. You really need to add Funyuns to this game.
Just here and there, special prizes.
Because sometimes you just need a Funyun.
That's right. So excellent. Well, so we'll go into social media recommendations, and if I'm not mistaken, for this week, it'll just be a Kelly recommendation. Is that right?
That's correct. Mel has not been participating much in social media lately. I'm sorry, folks.
You need to participate and post some of your screenshots from
Into
the Dark, because that would be, I'd like to see some of those.
Yeah, I will.
Be cool. Well, my recommendation recently, and if you listen to If you listen to Bring Out Your Geek, and if you don't, you should. It's a show that Gene's hosts, our good friend Gene's hosts, and Mel's on it, I'm on it, Bronwyn's on it, all sorts of different things, movies, talk about movies, Gene's and I talk about the Walking Dead comic. It's a lot lighter on Alice Cooper Talk than Nurture and Support, like the point, shockingly enough. But Gene's and I had a chance to go to C2E2 together, we met up there. And we sat in and saw the premiere of Wayward Pines. And it was pretty good. And M. Night Shyamalan and Matt Dillon were there to kind of talk about it afterwards, and it was pretty cool. And during, they were like, you can have your phone out and you can engage in social media, but if we catch you doing anything pointing your phone up at the screens, we will be escorting you out aggressively.
Wow.
We're like, okay. So I did tweet during it, but only tweeted, no pics. And the Twitter account for Wayward Pines was very interactive through that process. It was kind of fun. And so I think it looks like a good show. Might be a recommendation down the road. I probably want to watch a few episodes before I kind of really sell it. But I will recommend the Twitter account because they're pretty cool. And if you do start to watch Wayward Pines, it's a definite must do. Twitter verified Wayward Pines account is Wayward Pines Fox. So WayWardPinesFox. Wayward Pines Fox. And I would recommend following them. And they said they've been pretty funny so yeah. far when I've seen them cooking on Twitter. So cool. It looks like a good show.
Yeah, I follow that account, and I saw where I think they're tweaking the story a little bit. I read the book that this show is based on, and I think I could tell from the Twitter account some things that they had posted that they tweaked the story just a little bit to make it a little bit different from the book. Probably a little more all-encompassing because, anyway, I really enjoyed the book, and I look forward to the series. I'm going to check it out.
And they have promised to do what Under the Dome said they were going to do, which was be one season and done. This is a 10 installment, a 10 episode movie, basically.
Cool.
And it's going to be that book. And yeah. Now there are other books, I guess.
There are two more books in that series. So yeah, but, I have not read the second book yet though. So I'm not sure. I don't want to give any spoilers away. I thought it was a continuation, but it may not be. So anyway, but I enjoyed the book. I thought it was different and interesting. So yeah. I'm going to watch the show, see how they do.
Cool. So I'd recommend you follow Wayward Pines Fox, may or may not be recommending Wayward Pines in a future episode, or Mel may be recommending the book. We'll just have to see. It's the mystery of nurture and support.
Yep.
But at this point, I think we'll turn it over to our good friend, Matt, who will tell you all the different ways you connect with us, including due to some very crafty leading questions on mine on our recent show. He'll also be filling you in on how you can listen to Nurture and Support on YouTube. So
yes, he will.
Another week, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Yep, we'll be back next week with more. Thanks.
You can contact us on our website, nurtureandsupport.net, or email us at nurtandsup@gmail.com. That's nurtandsupp@gmail.com, or tweet us at nurtandsup on Twitter. You can also catch Nurture and Support on YouTube. Just search Nurture and Support or Kelly Tool.
Nurturing and supporting. Turn it.